Hello, friends. Welcome once again to the Perfect Bound Podcast. This is a podcast all about anything and everything comic books and comics related, brought to you by the Panel Jumper and Comics Dungeon. My name is Ben. With me, as always, is Nicole.
Hello.
Cole.
Hey there.
Chris.
Hello.
And of course, today, of course, you don't know this.
Of course.
Today, we're welcoming back owner of Comics Dungeon G, Scott Tomlin. Hello, Scott.
Hello.
Well, what brings you to this neighborhood today? Well, actually, before we go, we have a segment called What's New at Comic Extension? So, Scott, what's new at Comic Extension?
Well, by the time you get to listen to this, in the far distant future, a couple weeks from now,
February 13th
is today for you out there. We will be a nonprofit corporation in the state of Washington.
Wow.
It's a big change for the company. I was on a couple weeks ago when we were talking about changes in business models and all this, and this is kind of the big announcement for that. And we're making this change because we feel like we can embrace the community even more than we have in the past. The big deal here is all profits from the company go to our charitable causes. We're going to be raising money for the sole purpose initially of getting comics into classrooms, school libraries, and public libraries. And we'll have a grant process and all that. Maybe by the time this airs, we'll have our website up with some more information on that.
Cool.
But certainly by Emerald City Comic Con, we're going to have a lot of information available on
that. So is that the sole goal, or are you still sort of noodling out what all you want to be doing with the status?
Yeah, we know we want to reach out to the creator and artist community in comic books. We're not sure what that looks like yet. One of the cool things about about a nonprofit is I won't be the only one running the organization. It's run by a board of directors. I will be on that board of directors. My wife will be on the board of directors, but we've got three other great members that are joining us as well. We've got Tracy Williams, who's a 30 plus year educator and curriculum builder here in the state of Washington. We've got Rob Sokowitz, who has written about this industry. He's written a book, Comic-Con and the Business of Pop Culture. Great book. If you haven't read that, go get it. I know it's out on Kindle now. We've got Kazu Kibuishi, who is the creator of Amulet, Flight, Copper, Daisy Cutter, several other books. So we're going to have a creator on the board as well. He's a kind of a perfect fit creator. Most of his books fit really well into the schools.
Is he local?
He is. He recently, in the past couple of years, moved into the area.
And, I had no idea.
Great gentleman. We've actually, kind of grown close to him. So we're excited to have him on board.
Does this mean any fundamental changes in the way the store operates from day to day?
You know, fundamentally, the retail aspect of our nonprofit organization is still a comic store. We still want to be the best comic store in Seattle. We still want to provide all those services, but the greater organization, which I probably should throw its name out there, it's Comics for Community, Compassion, and Culture. And it's going to have the broader charter. The retail store will be one of our primary fundraising opportunities. We will be changing a few things on how we operate around the store to make sure that we do have funds at the end of the year or every quarter to issue the grants that we want to be able to do. But generally, this is, you know, I'm proud of this store. I've been proud of it for the 11 plus years that I've been here, and continue to want that to be a focus. But I want it to be a foil for us to reach out and you know, do what we can for the community.
Yeah.
To help make connections.
Absolutely. Is this unprecedented? Do you have anyone else's lead that you're following? Or are you being the pathfinder here, the trailblazer, as it were?
We're not the first nonprofit comic organization out there. There are plenty out there. But I have only found one other nonprofit comic retail business, and it's one actually in Austin, Texas. They've been there for a couple years raising money in the gift shop of a hospital.
Okay.
Which is a great place for a comic store if you if you can actually get in. But yeah, no, it's kind of uncharted territory. There's not a template we're following by any means, and it's going to be bumpy.
Yeah,
I fully expect that, but it's, you know, I feel real good about it.
Cool. Yeah, I know that there's a there's another store in town, Scarecrow Video. They turned nonprofit, and is there because they dealt with video rentals, DVDs, VHSs, another sort of industry that is kind of limping along these days. Is that the way for brick and mortar stores that are in danger of the digital age to go?
You know, I think it could be. It really could be. I'm glad you mentioned Scarecrow. I actually talked to several of the founders of the nonprofit organization there as I was speculating that this might be a direction we want to go.
Yeah.
So I appreciate their time. But yeah, you know, it could be. Seattle's a great place to give it a shot.
Yeah.
We do like our businesses with a cause. I think that there is an increase in social awareness, you know, particularly in the upcoming generations. Those of us who were raised as a Gen Xer and, you know, go-go type A, yuppie at the worst. And you know, so I think that there could be more trends like this. We've seen it. You saw some in the 60s and 70s with co-ops. Well, not necessarily nonprofit, but you kind of still had that community feel to it. So
but they were just dealing in wheat germ and marijuana.
Well, there is that. but we're in the right state for both of those, too. Here, so,
Or accordions and marijuana.
We are sandwiched here.
Yeah. So I don't know. You know, I suspect we're going to see more and more of that. I don't know that it's the best way to save a struggling industry or struggling business, but I think it's a great way to raise awareness and do what you can while you can.
And certainly a great way to benefit the community. Are there going to be more, like, additional staff that are devoted to this sort of outreach?
Yeah, so, you know, Lainey, my wife, and I are clearly going to be focusing our energy on this. One of the other great things about being a nonprofit is you can legally have volunteers.
Oh. Right.
Which we've actually been asked for people over the years who want to come and volunteer and do work with us. Mm-hmm. So this will actually give opportunities for that. We actually think that there will be people who want to work for the causes that we're raising as well, who may want to put in time, whether that's helping us with fundraising or special events or you know, or whatever that may be. We expect that we'll be receiving a lot of physical goods as donations. Once we get our federal nonprofit status, which will be a little bit longer, converting to nonprofit is not a subtle process by any means.
Right.
And
how not subtle is it?
So not subtle. Just the easiest part, we just filed with the state of Washington, is about a 15-page written document that we did. It wasn't a form. It was literally like 15-page prose that we had to write. That's one of the attachments that we have to give to the federal form, and there's about 30.
Wow.
It's our submission to the federal government could be pushing 100 pages when we're all done.
Wow.
So it is not a subtle process, but you know, for the cause.
Yeah.
Binders full of capes.
Exactly.
Cool. All right. Great. Anything else you want to say about the conversion to nonprofits? If somebody wants to find out how they can volunteer, or if you know somebody who is a teacher and wants to bring comics into their classroom, how do they get in contact with you?
Yeah, we will have information up on the new website, c4c3.org. We already have our Facebook page up there. Again, c4c3.org.
Is that the number four or is that FOR?
It is the number four. Okay. C number four, C number three. because I had to geek it out a little bit.
Yeah, of course.
And, you know, comics for community compassion and culture is a
very
mouthful.
Long.
Yeah.
We didn't want people to cramp up typing that URL. So we will have information up there when it's available. And if in the meantime, you can email me directly at scott@c4c3.org. If you have any questions or comments or ideas, I'm all ears.
Cool.
Excellent.
Thanks, Scott. It's a very exciting time.
Yeah.
Good luck. Especially with that federal nonprofit form. Yeah. Can't imagine it getting anything done in the federally these days. Anyway, hey, let's something that I saw online. I saw this amusing anecdote where somebody's like, if you were looking for a good deal on like PlayStations or Xboxes, go to eBay about the time report cards come out in your local school district. Because parents use that kind of kit as ransom or as bribery for their children, and so I was wondering if there is actually if the buying and selling marketplace for comics fluctuates over the course of a year. Is there a good time to look for good deals on comics, either annually or if there's a good time in a month or like always go Tuesdays is a new comics, but I'm thinking mostly about like used comics and deals on like classics.
I would pace it more towards the release dates of movies.
Yeah, that's what I would say.
Yeah. Like, that's the time to sell your crude comic, you know, when, I mean, you could hold on to it for the third Guardians movie, but who knows? You know?
Yeah. Right. Otherwise, it's just kind of like maybe sometimes you can find lots that have a whole bunch of stuff in it, and you can pick out from there. But I don't know of any specific time frame that really works.
The
for
only
that.
Seasonal time that I've seen is tax rebate season.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm-hmm. That's when the demand spikes a little bit. It happens to coincide with Comic-Con around here usually.
Right.
So. So
because people have the extra pocket cash.
Extra pocket cash. Mm-hmm.
I was always thinking in terms of like, you know, garage sale season. When is the purging time?
Yeah,
when do folks go through their homes? When does mom go through the garage and start dumping stuff? Because I love to forage at thrift stores, and there are trends. Latter half of the summer, there's some good stuff that starts showing up, toys and comics wise, because, you know, mom is probably an unfair cliche, but, you know, people are purging, and I tend to see more good stuff about that.
Yeah, and that kids are going to college, and their parents are getting rid of their stuff.
You know what? That's even a better point. I think that is more fine point on it right there.
Because I was just having this conversation with Chris earlier about how my parents sold some of my Transformers when I was in college at garage sales.
Well, I think we used to have a trend where it was before leading up to Comic-Con, people would be selling their collections. Yeah. But our trends have kind of changed over the years.
To have money to go?
Maybe it was to have money. They had a purging time so that they could go.
They knew they were going to get so much stuff at the con.
Right.
Yeah.
Their significant other made an ultimatum.
Maybe.
Something
that happens.
Something has to go before something can
come. See, that's why
in.
I don't have one of those. Yeah.
It's either me or the long box.
Or you're like me and my husband, and we're like, we're going to put stuff where? I don't know, but we're going to keep collecting.
You could put a mattress on top of it.
Exactly. Yeah. It's
a pallet of comics.
I've been thinking about, like, you know, beds that hang from chains from the ceiling.
Yeah, and then you could just...
Yeah. And then I would just, like, the long boxes would just, like, create another level to the floor. Right.
And all your Star Wars stuff is in the bedroom, so it's like you have
and
like a Jabba
the Hutt. And there's
another
level right there.
You just need a situation.
And then there's another level right
you
there.
You just need to go to IKEA and get one of those, like, desk beds where it's like a bunk bed, but the bed is only...
Yeah,
on the top.
But see, I'm broke, so I probably should sell some comic books.
Scott, did you have something else to add to that?
Didn't.
Oh, okay. Just checking.
I didn't.
Just checking.
Speaking of selling or donating your comics, aside from taking your collection to a comic book store, where would you generally donate comics? Like, where do you want to donate comics to either know that they're going to a good place or...
Other than us?
Other than...
We would be, yeah.
I mean, what am I trying to say? It piggybacks on what we just talked about. So bring your comics if you want to donate to Comics Dungeon here at 319 Northeast 45th Street.
You could also go Children's Hospital.
That's right.
The more appropriate stuff. Take a moment. Take your spawns out.
Yep.
Put them in a wheelbarrow. Then into a fire.
For those who don't know, Chris is making a reference to the very first episode of The Panel Jumper.
Mm-hmm. Which you can find at thepaneljumper.com.
Sorry, buddy. Keep
There's
going.
Also Comics for Kids.
Mm-hmm. Comics for Kids, a local charity. Yeah. A lot of libraries will take donations as well. after school clubs, Boys and Girls Clubs, and organizations like that definitely appreciate having those as well. Again, make sure that they're appropriate to the organization you're donating to.
Right.
It's one of the things that, you know, we'll look to do when we receive collections. Books that we can't use, we will redirect to appropriate organizations as well. So,
cool. Great. Are these, I'm very ill-informed on tax laws and codes and things, but would you be able to write that off on your taxes if you donate a bunch of comic books to Comics Dungeon
you
or
can.
Children's
As
Hospital?
Always, you should consult your accountant. But yeah, there are provisions. It's just like any other material good. You donate your genes to Goodwill, you can write that off if you can take those types of deductions.
Yep.
Cool. Yeah, I donated a bunch of stuff to Goodwill when I moved truckloads of stuff, and they asked me if I wanted a receipt. I'm like, nah, I don't need one. Who knows how much money I missed out on. Anyway, so let's move on to Book Report, everybody. And let's start with Chris Casso. Chris, what do you got?
So we picked up a small collection from a customer, and shifting through it, I came across this book called Kupala. And it is a import from Poland. By two creators, Kaska Gazdauna and Kaska Klas. I'm guessing Gazdauna is the writer and Klas is the artist. And it is based on a Slavic fairy tale or horror tale. And it's it follows this little boy growing up in a village who they have a fairy tale or a tradition of all the unwed girls wear a crown of flowers and then they put it with a candle on the riverbed and the boy who catches it downstream will be the one that they wed. And this little boy who's the main character, there's never one for him, but he meets this little girl in the woods. And every year for like the next 10 years of his life, he goes out during that time of festival and hangs out with a girl that no one believes is there. And it's a very, very enchanting and beautifully told story until the murder happens.
Oh, dear. Spoilers.
Yeah. But I like fairy tale stuff, and I like I just really like their art style in it too.
It's very gorgeous.
Very gorgeous. Yeah.
So it's
black
in English.
And white comic.
So it's a an English translation of this Polish comic. Were you familiar with it before you found it?
Never familiar. Yeah. So I looked them up online. Some of their websites that they credit in here don't exist anymore. Mm. But if you do look up their names, and we could put them in the show notes, they do have some active websites, and you can order this directly from one of those sites. I highly recommend it. Just really like the style.
If you can find it.
If you could find it, yeah. I'm going to guess that this customer found it at a small con show, and mm-hmm. it was just kind of hanging around their collection, and it made it to us. So yeah.
I'm going to touch it.
Cool. Yes. All right. Kupala. Thanks, Chris. Scott, do you have a book you want to review for Book Report?
Sure, why not?
All right.
Why not? I had time while I was waiting for my... For my time at the table, so
right. For those of you who joined us last week, we talked with we Skyped in a guest, and poor Scott was over there just watching us sit quietly at the table while she talked. Must have been pretty eerie.
So I had a chance to read actually two of the one shots for the new upcoming Steve Orlando's Justice League of America. I read The Ray and Vixen. They were, for me, they were kind of a homage back to the Detroit era Justice League.
Oh my!
Which a lot of people really don't like, as I think Cole's about to puke.
It just was such a weird period. It was a weird thing they did.
It was so
some
weird.
Working class Justice League.
It was this working class. They kind of needed to have that social reason, social mm-hmm, cause. Mm-hmm. You know, Aquaman was the high-powered player on the team at the time.
And they were led by Martian Manhunter.
Martian Manhunter was around, and, you know, they had Gypsy and...
Zatanna
and...
Vibe.
Steel and Vibe.
And Vibe's in the Flash TV show now.
Yeah. Right. And, that's you know, right. So these stories have that social justice, social cause. Ray is a young gay man, and Vixen, immigrant from Africa. Mm-hmm. And they're both kind of confronted with challenges, and you know, a little heavy-handed, I think, on the storytelling, but it gave me enough of that feel that I actually am a little more excited to read Justice League of America number one than I was without reading these two. So, you know, from that standpoint, I think they did their job. I hope the whole ongoing series isn't quite as obvious in what they're trying to do. But positive stories, uplifting stories, and actually, right now, I don't mind reading those.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah, right?
It beats my Facebook feed right now.
Yeah.
Yes. What?
Exactly. Steve Orlando is the writer of Midnighter, which Nicole's reviewed a couple times.
Yeah. And Jody Hauser's involved with this and as well.
And Jody did Faith, right?
Yeah. She did Faith and a few other books. So, yeah. So,
cool.
Yeah, great creators.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Scott. Cole Hornaday, what about you, sir?
Well, I want to talk about the complete Black Panther collection, the Black Panther the Complete Collection Volume 4. I've worked my way through all four of the Christopher Priest collections, as well as the Panther's Rage, is the Don McGregor stuff from the 70s. That it also includes the early Kirby introduction stories and the Jungle Action books, and I won't talk about that. I will talk about the epic experience it was working through all the Christopher Priest stories. Dated and challenged by 90s sensibilities and fly girl sexist imagery, thoroughly enjoyed the whole arc. I learned a lot of good stuff. As a matter of fact, I quit reading the Ta-Nehisi Coates series for about 6 months so I could get through all of these books. And then this weekend, I went and read them because I really felt like, if you remember, that was one of my initial concerns and challenges, was that I just didn't feel like when the Coates series started, I didn't feel like I knew who Black Panther was, not really, and I did not feel like I necessarily had a good mythological support for it, but I also knew that book was going in a different direction than where that character had been. So this is a really interesting collection. Artwork is not always consistent, but one of the coolest things about it is that this particular chunk of stories is not about Prince T'Challa. It's actually about a young man named Kevin Casper Cole who finds the Panther suit and becomes like an urban Black Panther. That story arc ends, and then we have, I think it's 7 issues of The Crew.
The Crew, which is coming back.
Which is coming back. Yeah. I remember reading a couple of the early Crew stories and just having no context and not appreciating it. Good stuff. Really enjoyed it, but I felt like I was in the library studying history, and that was okay. And then I went back and I read all of the Coates Black Panther stories I had not read, including World of Wakanda, and now I am so psyched for where Black Panther's going.
Yay!
Yeah.
Cool. All right, the Black Panther,
the complete collection
by Christopher Priest. Thank you, Cole. And finally, Nicole, what did you read this week?
I read Curse Words by Charles Soule and Ryan Brown, the first issue that came out a few weeks ago. And Ryan Brown is the guy who did God Hates Astronauts, which you reviewed many, many, many moons ago. Really funny, really crass, but fantastic all around. And Curse Words has that same great style art-wise with Charles Soule, who does Letter 44. He did the She-Hulk series a few years ago. He's done a whole bunch of stuff. And this follows a guy who looks like a hipster wizard in New York City. And he's got like a Justin Bieber character who wants to become like metal. And turns him into metal and finds out he can't like feel anything, and then it's like, oh, so let's actually find out who this guy is, and it does this whole story from when he came from whatever wizard world he comes from, and he was evil and he was doing this big cauldron brew thing to probably destroy the whole world, and it took about 36 days. But as he's doing that, he's like learning about New York City and like talking to different people. That is after he's translated from his strange like wizard land. Like he's just like can't understand anybody and like just tries to freeze people and like freezes cops in Central Park. And he realizes that he doesn't actually want to destroy everything. He kind of wants to live here and pretend to play kind of like the good guy, like Deadpool likes to do sometimes. And it's really interesting. And people in the whole world, whole as in there's a hole in the wall, they... they
that doesn't get confusing at
no,
all.
No, not at all. Not at all. They're realizing that this guy is staying there, so they're all gonna try to go and kill him now, because I guess everybody is evil, and there's just varying degrees of evil. But it was delightful, even though everything was evil. I just love Ryan Brown's artwork; it makes it really fun. It's not as funny as God Hates Astronauts, because Charles is just no Ryan, I guess. But you know, it's really fun. I'm definitely gonna be following the series, and I
never
recommend
will
it.
Be Nicole.
What's that?
He never will
he
be.
He never bro. Will be. You're not my real author. Yeah. So I recommend Curse Words, number one. It's an Image title by Charles Soule and Ryan Brown.
Cool. All right. Thanks, Nicole. Well, that's Book Report, and that's our show. And coming up is quiz time. But before we go, I want to tell you that the Perfect Bound podcast is brought to you by The Panel Jumper. See everything Cole Hornaday and I do at thepaneljumper.com. And look out for The Panel Jumper Live coming your way west of Lennon, Friday, April 14th. More info on that as the days and weeks progress. And by a comic extension here at 319 Northeast 45th Street in beautiful downtown Wallingford, or 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at comicsdungeon.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes or however you get your podcasts at perfectboundpodcast.com. Send us an email, perfectboundpodcast@gmail.com. And finally, friends, it's quiz time. Get your quiz hats on. This week, our questions come to us from listener Brendan.
Yay, Brendan!
All right. This fella just sent these questions to our Facebook page, and so I'm going to read them. They are about swords.
Swords?
Number one. It is said that whoever pulls this sword from the stone shall be deemed fit to rule as a reincarnation of the first Skull-Kree hybrid. The young Avenger Hulkling was able to draw the sword and be proclaimed King of the Knights of the Infinite. Stan Lee approves this weapon.
It must be the Excelsior.
It is indeed the Excelsior.
And that almost killed Cole. Okay.
It did almost kill Cole.
All right, and number two, this sword crafted by the wizard Merlin himself, is cursed by the blood that was shed by its first owner to make its wielder more bloodthirsty every time blood is spilled in an evil act. Keeping on theme, it has been wielded by both the Black Knight and the Black Panther. Cole is nodding his head. Chris is thinking.
I always thought it was just called the Black Sword, but it's got a name, I guess.
Black Sword is kind of right. I'm going to give it to you. It's called Ebony Blade.
No.
All right. And number three, this Japanese sword forged with a piece of Wolverine's soul has been said to be the only thing that could actually kill him outside of an editorial mandate.
Oh, nice.
A little commentary there.
Well done.
I read those and I didn't like them, so I kept...
You're close. You're close. Muramasa.
Muramasa
sword. All right. Number four. This sword could shrink into a dagger, fly back to its owner, shoot lasers, create force shields, and signal allies by projecting their symbol into the air. But it's probably most famous for giving its wielder sight beyond sight. Anybody have an answer for that?
Scott.
Sword of Omens.
It is the Sword of Omens.
Nice.
Yes.
Thundercats.
Got
one. All right, and finally, number five. This sword is forged by Hephaestus and imbued with magic to make it capable of slicing the electrons from an atom. Wielded by a Wonder Woman, it is now a familiar part of her arsenal. Cole is battling his head like a monkey.
Nope, I do not have it.
All right, anybody else? Chris? No?
I didn't realize they named it. She's got stuff by him. She's a collector of his stuff.
Like, Sword of Hephaestus?
Well, Hephaestus was part of the question, so it's not going to be part of the answer. But you're on the right track. I'm going to give it to you. It's the Sword of Athena.
Nice.
All right. Well, thank you, listener Brendan.
And thank you.
Job, Brendan.
If you, listener, want to send us some quiz time questions, send them to us at our Facebook page. Find us at the Panel Jumper, which is the Facebook page we use for this. Or email us, paneljumper@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next week.